Monday Morning Joe podcast is presented by Lakeland Automall Ford and Hyundai and Discount Garage Doors, Inc. Save $25, $50, or even $100 off your current payment during the Lakeland Automall Ford and Hyundai Summer Clearance Event. Plus, every new vehicle purchased is backed by their exclusive nationwide lifetime warranty. Nationwide lifetime warranty. That's no joke. And every purchase comes with 1 year free maintenance. Shop online at LakelandAutomall.com or stop by their new showrooms on West Memorial Boulevard in Lakeland. I-4, exit 28, just minutes from Tampa. It's really not a tough trip at all. Brandon, or anywhere else in Central Florida, very close, easy to get to. Lakeland Automall, where they are exceeding customer expectations every day. Now at Discount Garage Doors, you get a same-day free service call to get an estimate and a diagnosis. Most companies don't do that. They charge for it. Discount Garage Doors, Inc., does not. Give them a call, 866-420-DOOR, 866-420-DOOR. That's 1-866-420-DOOR. They service the entire Tampa Bay area. They will beat any comparable estimate. Of course, they sell new garage doors, lots of different types of doors in stock. Discount Garage Doors is family-owned and operated since 2000. You get 10% off with your Joe Bucks Fan discount code. And remember, they're open 7 days a week. 7 days a week. You can get your garage door repaired on a Saturday. Give them a call anytime, 1-866-420-DOOR. Happy Tuesday on the Monday Morning Joe podcast. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com, and that sounds weird. That is just weird. It's Tuesday, game week, since the Bucks officially are playing on Sunday. The Bucks just announced that today. But Hurricane Irma forced me to delay the podcast. No power at my place, home damage, and many of you I know have been suffering as well, with power outages or damage or dealing with a relocation and evacuation. Maybe you're listening driving right now back on I-4 or I-75. Everybody's got a Hurricane Irma story, unless you're out of the area, which is fine, but you still probably have one anyway, maybe with family or friends here, or you have a tie to the Tampa Bay area, maybe just through the Bucks. Doesn't matter. I hope you're well. Hope your family came out of this well. We press on. That's what we do. It's my first time enduring an actual hurricane, being there for a hurricane. Sure, we had a lot of stuff blow through here in the Tampa Bay area, 12, 13 years ago. That was one thing. I found back then there were either two people around town back in those storms a dozen years ago or so. There were the people with power and the people without power. And the people with power, they were the smiling ones, the ones that looked fresh, the one that looked kind of happy, looked a little bit over it. The ones without power, exact opposite. So I was one of the ones with power going back 12, 13 years ago. I think it was 04. I was working at the Tampa Tribune. I worked with a lot of colleagues who did not have power. Now I'm in the flip side. So I understand the struggle a little bit better now. And that's that. But we're here for you here on JoeBucksFan.com. We worked all through the weekend, managed to put up all kinds of posts. If you're just dialing back in, check out JoeBucksFan.com. We refuse to sleep. 24/7 Bucks coverage. Lee DeKemper and I, we just pumped it all out. We had a lot of stuff ready for the hurricane prep. I believe we didn't let you down, and we kept you informed all the way through the way. A couple of quick things. You heard our sponsors earlier. Discount Garage Doors. One thing I learned in this hurricane season, my garage door is not fit for duty. Don't have a good garage door. It works. It goes up and down. But is it hurricane safe? I don't even want to know. I'm sure it's not. So I'm sure many of you are in the same boat. Discount Garage Doors, awesome local company. They're across Central Florida. You can get a free diagnosis, a free estimate on what your needs are. DGDoors.com. Find them online. Use your discount code JoeBucksFan. They have all kinds of new doors. And they can let you know what you need, or maybe you want a budget for the fall to get a good garage door in, hurricane-safe garage door for next season. So think about it. Give them a call. Also, Lakeland Automall. I was in touch with my good friend, Sean Sullivan there, manager at Lakeland Ford, and he came through the hurricane just fine. And remember, stick carriers, Bucks fans, when you go to LakelandFord.com, find their lowest internet price, which is already posted, and then contact Sean Sullivan. He's going to give you an extra $500 off. Hopefully you don't have vehicle damage, but if you do, they're going to take care of you at LakelandAutomall.com. And the Buccaneers. All right. So let me take you into the locker room last Wednesday. That was before this ridiculous, unfortunate bye week that the Bucks had to endure in week one. Go inside that locker room, And what were the players doing? The players were all over their phones trying to find flights out of town. Mostly because, not because they were so scared of a hurricane. At that time, going back to last Wednesday, we all thought at that time this was going to be an east coast of Florida storm and we'd get, you know, some effects, but certainly nothing significant. Well, that changed. I'm not going to play weatherman here, but it all changed. But on Wednesday, the Bucks players were looking to get out of town. It was, hey, bye week. That means vacation week. And a lot of these guys, their fun and their families are out of town. So they're booking flights. They're working on flights to book. Some of them are worried about evacuation, but most of them are looking at flights out of town. Well, if you were a Buccaneers player and you were flying out of town and Dirk Cutter says report back to work Tuesday, you'd book a flight back on Monday. All right, let me try to get out Wednesday night, maybe Thursday morning, and I'll fly back in on Monday. Well, Tampa International Airport was closed on Monday. Closed. And everybody who knows, anybody listening who's flown before and has had a cancellation or something like that with a flight, you can't just jump on the next day's flight so easily. Doesn't always work that way. A lot of other people are trying to do the same thing. Airports get backed up. There's a lot of issues. So right now, as I record this on Tuesday morning, we don't know which Buccaneers will be back on time for practice tomorrow, Wednesday. We just don't know. And frankly, let's say insert X player's name, like Kendall Beckwith. I had talked to him for a while. He was going back to Louisiana. Okay, if he flew, well, maybe he can't get a flight back today, Tuesday, because he had to reschedule. He couldn't do it. So what does he do? Maybe he gets in a car on Monday and drives 9 hours to Tampa. Well, that's not necessarily an athlete taking the most ideal care of his body, driving back 9 hours or maybe 15 hours in traffic just to get back to be at a walkthrough and practice. And it's not an ideal situation for the Bucks. They're hoping to do a walkthrough tonight, walkthrough practice tonight. And usually the Bucks have done those 8 o'clock at night or so out of the sun to save their bodies. It's a Dirk Cutter thing. And Wednesday would be a regular practice in pads for the preparation for the opening game. Will all the Bucks be there on Wednesday? I certainly hope so, because it is would be such a shame if this team somehow gets distracted, somehow loses an edge in this opening home game after losing last week's game. I just hope Dirk Cutter can pull this thing off, being a leader and a motivator and a stabilizing presence with this team, because guys are going to be distracted. You thought Hard Knocks was a distraction, some of you? A lot of fans were like, oh, Hard Knocks, they don't need that distraction. Hard Knocks, everyone at this point, everyone's like, Hard Knocks, what the hell was that? That was nothing. This is real distraction, real life stuff. And hopefully Dirk Cutter can find a way. Now, as far as Dirk Cutter goes, I've written on joebucksfan.com a couple of times that Dirk Cutter really is a head coach who loves the psychological aspect of coaching. He really likes it a lot. And he's talked about it openly with me. And I don't know, I'm a little bit fascinated on Cutter's focus there. One, because Cutter doesn't seem like that kind of guy. He seems like, I guess on the surface, more of a head coach who's old school, all about telling guys, you know, what the F are you doing, and barking orders and being real candid. He doesn't seem like a master manipulator, psychological guru type, but really he is. For those of you who listened to the Ira Kaufman podcast this summer, I asked Cutter when we had our 20, 25 minute sit down with him, I asked him about these mind games. And one of them, you know, of course, the famous one is his theme of the week last December, speak softly and carry a big MF stick. That was his rallying cry that we learned thanks to post game locker room cameras of NFL films. And digging a little deeper, I found out that that was the theme of the week. That was the entire theme of the week. Speak softly and carry a big MF stick. And Cutter has various different themes of the week. Mike Evans had talked to me about how he's just a real, he and Jameis team up as a real mind-altering tandem, gurus of mental manipulation. And I asked Cutter about this when we sat down with Ira, and Cutter didn't shy away from it, which was really fascinating. Cutter said he believes that's his responsibility. He likes that challenge. He talked about how hard it is to motivate 20-something-year-old guys every single week to keep that consistent motivation, to keep a message that they can sink their teeth into. And he talked about the communication challenges that can arise sometimes with an old coach. You know, Cutter called himself an old guy, talking to 20-something-year-old guys. There's a disconnect there. And Cutter, who has kids who are, you know, I think his kids range from like 17, 18 to 25 years old, 27 years old, something like that. Cutter understands communicating with that generation. And sometimes that understanding means you understand that you're not very good at it. And Cutter really puts in a lot of effort into that messaging. And this week may be one of his best challenges. Not that the Bucks aren't going to be motivated for opening day, because they will be. Not that they won't be dying to get out there and hit somebody, but just to be able to stay focused enough where they won't use through the week, they'll be able to get out of their minds that they had this distraction, this setback in preparation. And if they feel a setback in preparation, they've got to push through it. And I think Cutter's going to come up with a way to get these guys motivated. He just simply has to. Absolutely has to. On that mental motivation front in the locker room, Cutter last year started putting up motivational phrases, not just writing it on a chalkboard or something, but putting it on all the video boards that are in the locker room that tell players their schedule, using it as screensavers on their Microsoft Surfaces where they watch film. And this week's theme, or it was last week, maybe he'll change it this week, but this week's theme was earn it. And we saw that in the locker room. I did, at least, looking on the player video boards, which I always look at. And earn it is also something we saw on Hard Knocks, was an early theme on Hard Knocks when you see Cutter in the auditorium. So will he change from earn it? I don't know. Maybe this week doesn't feel like an earn it kind of week. Maybe he wants to keep the same messaging and let them not think this week is special. I don't know. But I think it would be foolish to underestimate the challenge ahead of Cutter because of the great upset in this team's schedule. Because the reality is the Bears played this Sunday and they brought a very physical game to the Falcons. The Bears aren't good. Don't get me wrong. Not a good team. But they brought a very physical game to the Falcons. And I expect you're going to see the exact same thing. And if you're a little distracted and another team brings a physical game, that can be a very bad combination sometimes. And we don't want to see that for our Bucks. So what are the Bucks going to deliver on Sunday? We'll get to that in just a little bit. It is a mystery, of course, but I've got a few ideas. It was a hell of a weekend for football. I was so glad that we actually did get to deal with football and enjoy football and have it be a great distraction during Hurricane Irma. I know I got to watch the Bears game in its entirety. Of course, that was Bears-Falcons and some other stuff, and got out to some folks where there was some power. And it was, good to have football back, no matter who it was, even if it wasn't the Bucks, and knowing that the Bucks had gotten screwed by the storm and the bye week and all that. But the Bears, Mike Glennon, you know, I wrote something on Joe Bucks Fan, same old Mike Glennon. A lot of people were like, oh, Joe, you're blasting Mike Glennon again. He had some passes dropped on him. He played pretty well. He was a great game manager. I'm going to leave it to a Bears blogger who pretty much said the same thing I did. Bill Zimmerman, I believe, is his name. Works for Bear Goggles On, I believe it's called, BearGogglesOn.com. And you hear him sometimes on Sirius XM, Mad Dog Radio. Anyway, he made the point that the problem with Mike Glennon is that Mike Glennon probably played as well as he could on Sunday against the Falcons, and that just isn't good enough to be a good team in the National Football League. And that was really always the point that we made on Joe Bucks Fan and on the radio with Steve Dooming and stuff, blasting Glennon at times. Now, the guy's a great backup quarterback, and there's no shame in that whatsoever. No shame in being a third-round pick as a QB and being a great backup and having an excellent career. Why is that an insult to a guy? It's not. It's no insult. But Glennon just isn't that guy. He did everything on Sunday that lets you know he's not a special starter in this league. And that's why the Bucks couldn't have him as starter. That's why they needed to draft a quarterback in 2014. Yes, we were yelling for Johnny Football. Yes, we were yelling for Teddy Bridgewater And yes, it was both, for those of you who think otherwise. But the point was the Bucks were desperate because Glennon wasn't the guy and McCown was a joke and a half. And we all knew that before the season started. So now here comes Glennon to the Bears, and he was very methodical. Ton of checkdowns on Sunday. That's a big part of the Bears' offense. Ton of checkdowns. And he doesn't have much in the way of wide receivers. Now it looks like Kevin White is injured, which makes things even worse for the Bears. And Glennon was just kind of, he took those deep sacks that he does so well at doing. Nobody takes a long sack better than Mike Glennon. When I say long, meaning 10-yard loss, 9-yard loss, 15-yard loss. The guy's a master of it. And he's just not that good. On the more positive side, the Buccaneers absolutely have to beat Mike Glennon and the Mike Glennons of the world. And yes, that includes Sam Bradford of the Vikings a week from Sunday. If they want to be a good team, if they want to be a great team, if they want to be a playoff team, you don't lose to Mike Glennon at home, period. This, unfortunately, with the situation at hand with the hurricane, Ira Kaufman wrote this, we wrote this, and it's just a reality. I don't think it's even any kind of revelation. The Bucks have to win Sunday. It is a must win on Sunday, a must win. Anything else is really unthinkable. Now, immediately, there are a lot of people saying, oh, it's stupid to call any game must win on opening day. That's stupid. Stupid, Joe. That's stupid, Steve. Well, if you believe the Bucks are a playoff team, this is not a game to drop. It is just not a game to drop. On that mythical calendar of what game to circle as a victory, this is it right here. Right here, right now. Glennon and the Bears offense should not do much against the Bucks at all. Now, Tariq Cohen and their running game, very interesting. Tariq Cohen, the fourth round pick, didn't hear too much about him, period, in the preseason. But the guy came out and he's electric. He's electric. His Dave, I was going to say Dave Meggett, probably a Dave Meggett kind of guy, but a Darren Sproles kind of clone. Similar players, Meggett going back to the 80s and early 90s with the Giants and the Browns. But Tariq Cohen, fourth round pick, he was just electric. Go back, go to NFL.com, look at the highlights. They have compilation of everything Cohen did. He's just got that extra gear. And it, what was exciting as a football fan, not as a Bucks fan about to face the Bears, but Kevin, Tariq Cohen's showed up. Tariq Cohen showed up with this great speed and this great electricity against a Falcons defense that's probably the fastest in the NFL. And they were, of course, opening day. Everybody's flying around, usually too much because they're dying to hit somebody and they're a little less composed. So it really stood out for what the Bears have in Cohen. And of course, he compliments Jordan Howard. And it is a very, very imposing running game that the Bears have right now. How good their offensive line is always a question with the Bears. But it's going to test the Bucks' run defense. It really is going to test them. This is why Will Golston was re-signed for $5 million or so a year to be an elite run-stuffing defensive end. Supposedly, Chris Baker is supposed to be an upgrade. We've got Gerald McCoy healthy, completely healthy and ready to go. And everybody else is healthy. Ayers, Noah Spence, not much against the run. He's probably not even going to play very much against the Bears. You know, unless the Bucks can force this game to where Mike Glennon is playing catch-up. That's really where the Bucks are going to win this game. They've got to get the Bears out of being able to run the football and to stay balanced because Glennon just doesn't have it in him to put the team on his back and win the game. And he doesn't even have the horses. I mean, Glennon's probably not going to be around next year for this team, for this Bears team as a starter. But if they do, it'll be the same cry for him, weapons for Mike, because he just doesn't have enough at receiver. So Bucks have to win, no question. And what are they going to do? How are they going to approach it? I'm not sure the Bucks try to get all smash mouth with the Bears out of the gate. The Bears defense is good. Front seven is strong. And I think, you know, you give a team a couple of stops early and that's where they're going to gain confidence. The Bucks have the power, have the firepower here to beat the Bears through the air. And the Bears made two big mistakes on defense Sunday. Both were through the air. The Falcons tight end, can't think of his name right now, fantasy football players, their eyes popped, not realizing what he was going to do. But, you know, he had two huge gains, and they were both really blown coverages by the Bears. I think it was 122 yards on both of those receptions total. So the Bucs should be going to the air to set up the run, in my opinion. Go to the weapons, use them, have the Bears defense on their heels big time, and I think that's the way to beat the Bears and the way the Bucs can get up early on the Bears and maybe change the Bears offense, because you don't want them slugging it out and getting a tight game into the late third quarter, fourth quarter, when both teams are going to wear down. And not a good situation. You don't want the Bears in a situation where they can even feel like they can run the ball in the fourth quarter. As far as other running backs, you know, you looked at Tariq Cohen and you saw it was hard not to think about Jason Light needing a running back entering this draft in 2017. Because let's face it, that was a pressing need of the Bucs entering the draft. You can't deny it. I don't think anybody could possibly deny it. It was a pressing need. Sure, there are your Doug Martin super fans out there who maybe believe that he is some great, some sort of fantastic being who, even though he had 144 carries last year, was still a great running back, and believe that even his drug problems and issues would just disappear. And he was going to last and was built to last into his 30s. And the Bucs didn't need a running back. I accept that for those who believe that, but that's very few and it's not very wise. So the Bucs needed a running back, a feature back to potentially groom here, because they already had their third down back in Charles Sims, and a guy who is a great backup and versatile and experienced in Jaquizz Rodgers, although his durability is fairly questionable. And Peyton Barber, undrafted rookie, who they like on the rise, but he may never be a featured back at all. So the Bucs needed a running back, and we got Jeremy McNichols, 17th overall pick in the draft at the position. Other teams got other guys that we wanted, and a lot of people wanted, from Dalvin Cook to others to Kareem Hunt. And the great irony this weekend is that these guys kicked ass. Dalvin Cook was very solid in his NFL debut last night, 120-something yards. And you might say, oh, Joe, that's incredible, blah, blah, blah. He was solid. He wasn't phenomenal. He was solid. He had some questionable hands catching the football, but he's a rookie. First time out, he was great on Monday Night Football. Looked like a featured back, played like a featured back, was used like a featured back. And you know what? He would look very good. If you imagine Dalvin Cook last night in a Bucs uniform, that would have looked darn great, considering all the weapons this team has. And that was the point of wanting to draft him. Kareem Hunt set an NFL record with his performance for the Chiefs. And Andy Reid is a Dirk Cutter mindset kind of guy. So that maybe added a little bit of a twist to it. We saw Tariq Cohen. Obviously, the Bucs could have had any of those guys. Leonard Fournette, not a guy who was in the Bucs' sights, but he was fantastic pounding through the tackles in a stacked box for the Jaguars against the Texans. That is no joke of a defensive front for the Texans. Fournette just hammering away with the Jaguars. So I get there were a lot of people, and it was hard not to. I did it myself, thinking, how did the Bucs walk out of this draft without a running back? Jeremy McNichols, and they wanted to keep him on the practice squad. We all saw that play out on Hard Knocks. They wanted him. Doesn't mean that they loved him. He didn't make the 53-man roster, but they all wanted him on the practice squad, and they couldn't get it done. They could not get that done. Now, you have latitude with the practice squad. You can pay guys, I think it's $7,200 a week as a minimum, or you can pay them all the way up to just below the league minimum for a rookie. You can guarantee them, I think, $400,000. So 16 weeks, that's like $25,000 a week, roughly, versus $7,000. You have that wiggle room there. They wanted McNichols, but they still didn't get him. He went to San Francisco. So it's 1 week. It doesn't mean that much. Dalvin Cook might rush for 3.6 yards a carry this year. And yes, he was running against the Saints last night, who have in their share of injuries and have had their share of defensive issues for years, and they're in a new system for yet another defensive coordinator. But did the Bucs miss on a shot in what was a very deep draft class at running back? Yeah, they did. Will they probably have to draft a running back next year? Yeah, they will. But can they be a good running team this year with Jaquizz Rodgers, Peyton Barber and Charles Smith? Yes, they can, especially if the pass sets up the run and this team plays to its strengths and makes the running game a 1A sort of situation. Dirk Koetter has done that before. I mentioned this on the podcast before. He did it in 2012 with the Falcons. He can do it again here. But do we have draft regret today? Are we feeling like, why didn't we get one of these guys? Yeah, we are. We certainly are, and it's fair. And Jason Light, you know, you don't always swing and miss on your draft picks. You also miss on the guys you don't draft, which is a whole other way of analyzing a draft. But again, too early to go there, too early to make any sort of judgment. But is it too early to feel the pain, to feel the anguish? No, no, it is not, because we don't have that running back and other teams do. And Alvin Kamara with the Saints, did he not look like the best Saints running back last night? Guy looked pretty good, looked quick, looked shifty, confident. So, you know, it's an interesting day for running backs in the Tampa Bay area. As far as other stuff coming up for this weekend, again, it's a weird game to talk about right now, because the Bucs, some of their question marks are just going to be answered this week as far as how distracted these guys are. Some of them, I bet there's 53 men on the roster. I bet there's some interesting and oddball stories out there of guys and what they might have gone through and to get back to Tampa or in Tampa or at a friend's house in Lakeland, an old college buddy. Maybe they got blasted by the hurricane. You don't know. Many of you dealt with a lot of emotions through this hurricane, a lot of anxiety, a lot of stress. It takes a toll. It takes a toll. And, you know, you just hope for the best from a Bucs perspective that they can handle this. And, you know, we'll see. There are injuries on this team. There were before the bye week. And I had said and had written that there are a lot of positives to the early bye because, you know, you just get to get healthy. Quan Alexander, hamstring issue. What's the best thing for a hamstring? Rest. And a week, extra week for Quan, where he probably would have been ready to go opening day, we think. You know, had to be huge. Mike Evans, little dinged up, maybe not much. Gerald McCoy, same thing. All these guys should be healthier and more ready to go. And those are positives. And Dirk Koetter, still he and his staff had time to prepare, extra time to prepare for the Bears, extra time on Sunday to dial into a game plan. All those things should be advantages. So I'm just confident that Koetter can make it happen for Sunday. As far as the crowd, I think you're going to see probably some empty seats. I would imagine that you'll have your share of Bears fans who bagged on their trip because of maybe hotel room issues or not feeling great about flying to Tampa. Who knows? There'll be some of that going on. And right now, tickets on the secondary market are cheaper than they normally would be. The game is not sold out. Go to fanretreat.com. Use your discount code JoeBucksFan. You get a great deal there. They're very low on the fees at Fan Retreat, who's one of our sponsors. Much lower on the fees than a StubHub or other Ticketmaster or wherever. So definitely check that out if you're planning to go to the game. As far as this game specifically and what it means going forward, now the Bucs, if you relook at their schedule, you're looking at what should be, theoretically, a winnable game against New England. They're flawed. The team is flawed. New England, they showed a lot of flaws on Thursday night. It's just one game again, but this is not a team that the Bucs should be looking at, or Bucs fans should be looking at saying, wow, we'll be lucky to beat them at home on a Thursday night. That's the best possible time to get New England. And especially since the Bucs should have this little extra rest, they should have found a groove. They should be past any distractions that this hurricane might have been. And you get the Patriots. And, of course, the team had extra time, even this weekend, to scout the Patriots and have guys at games because they had extra time off. So all that stuff plays in a little bit. But it's, of course, it's just one game at a time, and we are just one podcast at a time. I appreciate you tuning in to the an abbreviated hurricane changed edition. I know, again, some of you are still struggling out there. I can't say that it's been a smooth ride for me whatsoever, but we are getting back on our feet at JoeBucksFan.com. Please keep visiting and clicking and doing all that stuff. Next week, I'm going to take some questions after the game, as well as really dive into what we're looking at. So I'm expecting a very long podcast next week as we have our first Monday Morning Joe on what looks like a real Monday morning in football season. And we'll have 16 straight of those, hopefully about 20 of those, if the Bucs can carry that all the way up to the Super Bowl. Let's hope Chris Baker shows up on Sunday so he doesn't have to get torched left and right. I know a lot of you have said we've been hard on him, but you know, you're a free agent, you're making the money, you come here, you're supposed to make an impact. Let's see it right out of the gate. We all saw what Calais Campbell did, 4 sacks in Jacksonville, big money, free agent. They're two different players. Baker was never as good as Campbell, but you like to see a guy come out and want to make his mark, make his impact. Baker didn't do it in preseason, but now it's time. Now it's time. And I'm looking for huge things from Baker, who's another guy who should have benefited from more time off. He said many times, veterans got to take it easy on their body. Dirk Cutter had said he was a little nicked up going back to April. Baker should bring his absolute best A game on Sunday. All right, Bucs fans, stay safe, stay good, and we'll see you next Monday.